It's good to see everybody this morning. We are continuing on Luke, and we are in Luke chapter 8, the passage that was just read in the Pew Bible there for you, page 812. Let's have a word of prayer before we get to the message and the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to praise your name. We acknowledge that one day we are excited about when you return and when throughout this world every person will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the praise of the Father. So, Lord, as we continue on, may you continue to give us strength and understanding from your word, even as we look at Luke chapter 8. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21. Hearing the word of God matters. It's important. I like how one pastor of old put it, David Clarkson. He said, hearing is the provision made for the soul's eternal well-being. Its everlasting welfare depends on it. If you fail here, your souls perish without remedy. For salvation comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing. It is an act of eternal consequence. According to our hearing, so shall the state of our souls be to eternity. I'm not sure you could put it in much weightier terms than what David Clarkson put there, but it's true. How you listen, how we listen and hear the word of God is actually a matter of life and death. Our very souls, you could say, weigh in the balance. Now, we started to talk about hearing last week because that's what Jesus was talking about in the parable earlier in the chapter. In chapter 8, if you look at verses 4 all the way to verse 15 there, there's a parable that Jesus gives in verses 4 through 8 and then explains later in verses 11 through 15. And what he did in this parable is he proclaimed, or he explained, in a sense, the different type of hearers that there are to the Word of God, the different type of hearers that were listening to him proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. We didn't get into the verses that we have this week, which is verse 16 through 21, because we just didn't have time. But it's on the same concept. It's still talking about the importance of hearing the Word of God. These verses are connected to the parable that Jesus gave, and they're continuing the idea of hearing. And notice the beginning of verse 18. Take care then how you hear. See? Continuing it. Look down at verse number 21. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who, here it is again. You see it? Hear the word of God and do it. So this theme of hearing the word of God continues on in our passage. What's actually interesting too, if you were to take, as you think about the gospels, there's four gospels that we have in the New Testament. We have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are called synoptic gospels, which is just a complicated way of saying they generally follow the same pattern. If you get to the book of John, it's completely different. But with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if you look at Matthew and Mark's account of verses 19 through 21, you're going to learn that this actually took place earlier in Jesus' ministry. But Luke puts it here specifically to highlight what you see in verse number 21, the idea of hearing the word of God. He wants to tie together the theme of hearing the word of God. Now, back in chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, Jesus gave a parable about the different types of soils. He explains that parable in verses 11 through 15, telling us that these four types of soils represent four different types of hearers who are hearing the message of the kingdom of God. And if you look at verse 12 and down to verse 15, you're going to see that you have a couple of different types of hearers. Verse 12, you have those who do not respond in any way to the word of God. The devil comes along and snatches away the word from their hearts, as it says in verse 12, so that they may not believe and be saved. That's the first type of soil. Then you look at verse 13, you have the second type of soil. You have those who receive the word, but they don't bear any fruit. Rather than thrive, they wither away when trials come, when persecutions arise. And then in verse 14, you have a similar scenario. You have another type of hearer. Those that seemingly are a positive soil, those that seemingly are promising, who appear to receive the word of God. But then, you look at verse number 14, the truth comes out as they're choked away by the cares and riches and pleasures of this world. And just like verse 13, you have a soil that there's no fruit as a result. It's not until verse 15, this last soil, that there is life, true life, and fruit. Look at verse 15. As for that and the good soil, they are those who hear the word, who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Unfortunately, the reality is only one of four soils bears any fruit. One of four. That percentage is pretty low, which should be a reminder to us all that the majority of those who hear the word of God will not be the fourth soil. Now, as we get to our verses today, we continue with this concept of hearing. And these verses focus in on verse 18. They center around the warning, or the exhortation, I should say, that Jesus gives in verse 18. Look at verse 18. Take care then how you hear. Now, of course, Jesus gives this exhortation in light of the parables, right? In light of the soils in the parable. Here's the different types of soils, and now Jesus comes along and says, take care then how you hear. Be careful how you hear. Take seriously hearing the word of God. As I was thinking about this exhortation, it reminded me of what I find and what you'll find in the Old Testament. You remember in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is talking to the people of Israel for the last time. This is it. What's the last thing you would say to your family? If you knew it was the last time that you had to say anything to this church, Dave, what would you say? I would hope something along the lines of what Moses says. And so Moses is talking to Israel. They're about to go into the land, and he reminds them of all God's done. And then at the end of the book, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 46 through 47, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. The word of God is your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. He's challenging them. Just like Jesus is challenging us in chapter 8, verse 18, take care then how you hear. Heed the word. Listen to the word of God. It's your very life, Deuteronomy reminds us of. It's very necessary in order for us to honor the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The type of hearing that Jesus is seeking in verse 18, of those he spoke, and the type of hearing that he's seeking from us, he actually tells us in verse 21. Look at verse 21. What does this hearing look like? What is the hearing that is like that healthy soil look like? Verse 21, he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God. Notice the last part. And do it. It's not just an auditory exercise. They hear the word of God and do it. It's not merely hearing with our ears, but rather it's hearing the word and applying the word, doing the word. That's the exhortation that Jesus is giving all of us this morning to what he says. We hear what he says. We believe what he says. We digest what he says, and we apply what he says. It's not merely just hearing. James puts this this way in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I've said numerous times from this pulpit, and I'll say it probably a lot till I die or retire, that we have great accessibility, almost too much accessibility to the word of God. You have too much preaching you're probably listening to. Your pastor said that, okay? You can pull up endless amount of podcasts. You can pull up endless amount of sermons on YouTube. You can be listening to the word. You can hear me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But the danger is that we're simply hearing more preaching. The danger is you might even find better, which you will if you look, it's not going to be hard, and more eloquent preaching than you're going to find here, but you're just filling your head with more and more stuff if you don't do anything with it. You actually think it accomplishes something just by hearing, and James reminds us, no, if you're just a hearer and not a doer, you actually are deceiving yourself without ever taking the word and putting it into practice. Let me just challenge you this morning with a question. How often do you come away from a Sunday message and think through how it might apply in your life? Or is it on to, well, you got till 8 o'clock for the Steelers, so you got a couple hours. Or is it on to the next thing? Do you meditate on the message of Scripture? Or are you just going to do your religious checkbox every Sunday? Some of you were surprised about this last time I told you about this, but we do have an app, if you haven't got that far yet. And in the app, there are sermon notes. And I'd encourage you to take those sermon notes, not because you get an A+ in your Christianity by taking sermon notes, but at the end of the sermon notes, there's a bunch of questions that I want you to go through because I don't want you to just be hearers of the word. And at the bottom of those sermon notes, you have questions like this. What's something you learned in the message today? What's something in the passage that you saw that you want to learn more about? What's something in your life that God might be telling you to change in what you're doing? What's a truth of the gospel highlighted in this passage? How are you going to respond to the word of God? Who are you going to share what you heard on Sunday? Imagine if everybody in this room shared to one person what God taught you in the word this week, what that might do for the kingdom of God. But we're just, myself, guilty as well, many times mere hearers. So Jesus, in verse 18, exhorts us all on how we're hearing, to take care how we are hearing. And the rest of what he has to say in verses 16 through 18, and also the little narrative in verses 19 through 21, relates to this exhortation. What we're going to find is in verses 16 through 18, you're going to have two warnings for us. And then you're going to have an incentive, you could say, an encouragement or an incentive in verses 19 through 21. Let's start with the two warnings. The two warnings come in verse 16 through 18. Look at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care, then, here's the main point, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Now, these verses, in a sense, are easy to understand, and yet in another way, a little bit difficult to understand. They can be a little bit hard here. At first glance, verse 16 and 17 might feel disconnected from verse 18, and they might feel a little bit disconnected from the context. But remember, verse 18, the emphasis is on hearing. So what he has to say fits with the parable that he had given in verses 4 through 8 and explained in verses 11 through 15. He's helping us understand this even more, you could say. And what I think he's doing is providing two warnings. The first warning comes in verse 16 and 17, and that's this warning, if I could put it in my own words. You can't hide the reality of how you hear. You can't hide the reality of how you hear. Look at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Jesus is going to use the same language illustration in chapter 11, verse 33. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. And the point, you get the point, right? You understand it pretty well if you read it. It's pretty simple. You don't light a lamp in order to see the light of the lamp and then stick it under a bed. It doesn't help you. You can't see anything. When you do that, the light will just get hidden and it's going to be of no use to anybody. Now, verse 16, you put it on a stand. You want to spread the light. You want to be able to see the light. That's how it's useful. It makes pretty good sense. But why is Jesus saying that here? Well, look at the beginning of verse 17. Because what he has to say in verse 17 is connected with what he said in verse 16. Notice how verse 17 starts. For explanation. Let me explain a little bit what's going on here. In verse 17, look what he says. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. So verse 17 helps us to understand why he's saying what he's saying in verse 16. And again, it's not too hard to understand what he's saying in verse 17, but what's the point that Jesus is trying to make here? It's not going to surprise you, probably, that there are a bunch of different ideas that people have about what he's doing in verse 17. Probably the most popular, and maybe where you go in your brain, if you're, you know, hearing it all today, is judgment. A lot of people hear verse 17 and they think judgment. It's a warning of judgment. One day, all will come out. You can hide now, but in the judgment, you can't hide. That's how a lot of people understand verse 17. Nothing will be hidden in the judgment. All will be made known. And Jesus uses this type of language to talk about judgment in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together, which is crazy, that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. What Jesus is saying there when he uses that language is talking about judgment. Here's the reality of the judgment. The truth is going to come out. It's between you and the Lord. And God knows your heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. No creature is hidden from his sight, but we are all naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. When we face the judgment of God on the last day, there will be no hiding. And if we're not found in Christ, we will be in trouble. Because we will not be able to hide the reality of our rebellion against God. He will see it all. He knows every single thought that you and I have. So most people understand, a lot of people understand verse 17 to be a statement of judgment. And it's used that way clearly in Luke chapter 12. And there's truth to that, but I think if we understand what he's saying in light of the context of the different soils, it takes a little bit more of a nuance than just straight judgment. He's helping us understand a little bit more of that parable. So look at verse 15. As for that in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast and honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with the jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who may enter see the light. So the seed here, he immediately jumps into that illustration. And what I think he's doing here is he's kind of making a correlation between seed and light. There's almost this comparable idea. A seed will sprout if there's genuine life and produce fruit. A life that is truly filled with fruit will shine. It will be evident. You can't hide it. All right, and naturally, there's a purpose to lighting a lamp so that it can be seen, just like with the soil, when it receives the seed, will show it and bear fruit. So, verse 17, he's making this simple point. You cannot hide who you are. It will come out. And of course, in the judgment, but I think even in just life, not just the judgment. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. It will be known one day. Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. In other words, in the context of what he's saying, I think in the whole parable here, he's basically saying what type of hearer you are will eventually come out. Because if you look at the seed of verse 13 and you look at, the soil of verse 13, the soil of verse 14, and the soil of 15, they all look the same initially, don't they? But eventually, the truth will come out. That's what he's saying in verse 17. It's really a warning to not be like the seeds of verses 13, or excuse me, the soils of verses 13 and 14. Look at verse 13. The ones on the rocks are those when they hear the word of God, receive it with joy. But these have no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. Verse 14, as for for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Both soils seem to produce a healthy plant at first. But in one case, you have the trials and the persecutions that come with following Christ that chokes it out, you could say. This is the type of person that maybe for quite some time comes to church, seems to be following the Lord, but when life gets hard, they disappear. They walk away. They never bear true fruit of the Spirit. I mean, I've seen this happen in people's lives in the ministries I've served in. When the going gets tough or the stigma for following Christ gets hard, they walk away, and their lack of fruit and lack of genuine fruit and walking away reveals their genuine lack of hearing. Verse 14, again, you have a plant that grows initially. The seed seems to have taken root, but look at verse 14, it gets choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this world. As I was looking at this, I'm thinking, man, Jesus actually is going to highlight a very similar type of idea in Luke chapter 12, someone that gets caught up in the cares and riches of this world. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21, he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what will I do? Right? You got a windfall in the stock market. What do? I spend the rest of my life planning around that thing. That's the idea. Right? What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, and notice how many I's there are there. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Never once consults the Lord. And then God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. The cares of this world, the riches of this world, choked out this guy that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 12. Verse 17. Nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not come to light. So these two verses are warning us. You cannot hide the reality of how you hear, even though you think you can. What Jesus says goes right to his teaching in Luke chapter 6, 43. No good fruit tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its fruit. You will come out eventually. Matthew chapter 12, 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Over time, the truth will come out about the type of hearer you are. It may be a year, it might be 10 years, it might be 20 years. We've had some come to this church for more than 15 years, serve within the church in different roles, even in leadership positions, only to be the type of hearer that you see in verse 14. Jesus reminds us in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. If you abide in Christ, you will bear fruit. On the flip side, if you're not abiding in Christ, guess what? Probably not bearing fruit, right? That's the first warning. Don't worry, the other ones aren't as long. Second one, verse 18. First warning, who you are is going to eventually come out. What type of hearer you are is eventually going to come out. Second warning is you may be deceiving yourself. You may be deceiving yourself. That's verse 18. Take care then how you hear, for To the one who has, more will be given, and the one who has not, notice this next phrase. Luke highlights this. Even what he thinks that he has. In other words, he doesn't have it, but he thinks he has it. All the benefits he thinks he has, because he's not a true hearer of the word, he might hang around with those who are true hearers of the word and thinks he can enjoy the benefit of that. What does it say, verse 18? Will be taken away. This warning is very similar to the previous one in verses 16 and 17. He's warning about a person that thinks he has something, just like the person, the soil in verse 13, just like the soil in verse 14, who grows up but eventually gets choked out. You have the one in 13 who eventually withers away because there's no root, there's no fruit, and it's a warning against deceiving yourself. That's why he says in verse 18, take care then how you hear. Those who think they are a disciple but haven't seen fruit in their life. If you were to say, what type of fruit are you looking for? Well, just read the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit is, see, you know it. Yeah, there you go. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, going to church every Sunday, reading from the ESV only. It's amazing how many things we make marks of true Christianity when the Bible makes it very clear. Is love increasing in your life? Can you measure love? I always say that. Can you measure true fruit of the Spirit? No, you just know when you're not doing it, right? None of you hit, you know what? I'm 100% on how good I am at loving. Ask everyone around you. They'll let you know. All right, how about patience? Right? Isn't patience one of those things you feel like you got it, and then the next thing you realize you don't? Right? So the fruit of the Spirit, we can't measure those. That's what makes that so great, because the Spirit produces that within us. But we like to measure things because it makes us feel comfortable. And we might be deceived. The one who thinks he has something will be taken away. Why? Because he never had it in the first place. It's not for him. It's for those in verse 18 who are genuinely hearing. Those who has, more will be given. Those who have will receive blessing from the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God continues to pour in their life. This is, some of you are very sensitive, and so you're hearing, if I'm not perfect, no, that's what I'm trying to tell you is not the case. As the Spirit works, he produces these things slowly, maybe dramatically at times, but he produces these things. But the ones who are self-deceived are the ones who are thinking, I'm checking these boxes, I'm going to be fine. That hears the word of God on Sunday, walks out and forgets it on Monday. That if you were to look at their life outside of attendance at church functions, they look no different from the world. Those are the type of people in verse 18 thinks they have these things. Both warnings should cause each of us to kind of take a second and look, you know, have a long, hard look at ourselves. What type of hearers are we like? Because the reality is you can't hide verse 16 and 17 of how you hear. In verse 18, you might be deceiving yourself. Are you one who hears the word this morning? Are you one who believes the word this morning and applies the word of God? As Jesus says in verse 18, take care then how you hear. Well, I said there's two warnings. Let's move on, lastly, to the incentive to hear, and that's verses 19 through 21. Verses 19 through 21. Like I said earlier, this section, 19 through 21, is actually took place earlier in Jesus' life, if I'm reading Mark and Matthew right, because if you look at Matthew 12 and Mark 3, you'll find out that it was a little bit earlier in Jesus' life. And the setting does seem different, because look at verse 20. They're standing outside, which means Jesus is inside, right? He's probably in a house at this point when this narrative took place. It could mean that he's in the middle of the crowd and they're trying to come in, but probably he's in an inside location. And Luke puts it here to emphasize what he says in verse 21. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's not hard to hear what's going on here. Verse 19, this isn't hard to understand. His mother and brothers come to find him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. He's in some type of location. They can't even get in. right? Maybe like last night, some of you were trying to get through 68. You weren't paying attention for some reason over the past like 10 weeks, and you couldn't get in, right? There's just too many people. And so they can't get in. Verse 20. So, you know, they do telephone. It makes its way up to them, up to the people in the front, and say to Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." Now, look what he says in verse 21. Here's the incentive. Here's the incentive. He answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. He's not belittling his family at all, not in any possible way, but he's pointing out something very important. His true family, his spiritual family, is made up of those who hear the word of God and do it. It's made up of those that where the seed comes in verse number 15, it penetrates, the word of God penetrates their soul, and then through the Holy Spirit takes shape and produces fruit within that life. They do the word of God. They produce the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, he's really telling us who the people are, verse 15. Those who hold the word and fast and hold the word fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience are those who are his true family. Those who hear the word of God and do it. That's his true family. As you look through the rest of the Bible, you find that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are known as true hearers of the word of God. They're brought into the family of God through adoption. It's one of the greatest things. For John chapter 1, 9 through 14, the true light, which is Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own. Notice the language of receiving. And his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who receive him, believe him, are those who have a right to be part of the family of God. They're considered a genuine, true child of God. This person doesn't make themselves alive. That's what he's saying. No, it's a work of God. They are granted that right through the work of the Spirit and the will of God. But you want an incentive to hear the word of God? Could you think of a better incentive to hear the word of God than to be part of the family of God? To be part of Christ's spiritual family? It's only those who hear what the Lord says, believes it, does it, that are his true family. Because it's only those who hear it and do it that prove, that show, that they've been born, as he says at the end of verse 14 there, from God by the Spirit. Of course, the question for you this morning is whether or not you're in the family of God. Are you a hearer of the word of God? Do you listen to the word of God and obey the word of God? Not perfectly, but seek to put it in your life through the Spirit of God. These verses here, verses 16 through 21, they're really a call for us to be true hearers of the word of God, to listen to the word of God and put the word of God in practice. Because Jesus warns, you're not going to be able to hide the reality of who you are and that you might be deceiving yourself. But then in verses 19 through 21, he reminds us of something so great, that those who hear the word of God are part of his true spiritual family. What more incentive could you want than that to hear the word of God? Let's be a church who hears the word, believes the word, and lives the word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage this morning. Continue to ask for strength and application. May we be true hearers of the word, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.